Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Good evening. Good evening. Good evening. How are you guys doing? You guys all right? It's funny. I always make fun of Ethan for saying that every time he goes up in front of the college group. Every time I end worship, the time of just singing and whatnot, he always comes up and he's like, "How you guys doing? Everyone doing all right? Three of you?" He makes the same joke every single week, and it's really funny how you can make fun of someone for doing that, and then you just get up in front of everybody and do the exact same thing. Now, I don't know. It's just weird. My name's Mike, for those of you who don't know me. I'm a worship leader here.
Hi, everyone.
I lead worship here on Sundays and Wednesdays. Worship director is my official title. That is not necessarily why I am speaking to you on worship tonight. We're continuing our Like Jesus series, and we've already talked about rescue, and we've talked about live, and then the third component that we're talking about today is worship. And how many of you were at the worship talk at Vertigo and came and heard me speak? You guys are going to hear the exact same thing, so just go ahead and leave now, and you're all good to go. No, I'm just joking. No, I'm just kidding. The thing about whenever we talk about worship, here's some things that you got to know about me before I just start speaking to you. I have ADD, not clinically. It's just a self-diagnosis. I've just noticed it, and then other people could probably confirm it. I just have ADD, but then also I can get emotional. Like when I start talking about something that I'm really passionate about, it's just like, here come the water slide. Like I just like, you know, it just like, I can't contain it. And then, the third thing is I kind of am like an 8-year-old inside of a 29-year-old's body. Yeah. So just bear with me in that. And also, I have had such a weird past 2 days. My car died. Like I couldn't start it up, yesterday after work, and I was going to go home and work on this message. And I was like, okay, cool. Like we're going to go do this. And then I'm like, what the heck, car? Why'd you do that? And then I had to leave it and call for a tow truck, and they couldn't get out. And all this stuff started happening. And I started thinking about, okay, what am I going to do? And so I naturally being the ADD person that I am, I'm just like, well, I got to take care of this, but I have a message to work on, but I also have to do my laundry, but I also have to do this. Oh, what color is the sky today? Oh yeah, that's a nice sunset. Like total distraction all day yesterday and part of today, but God is extremely faithful, and I hope that you guys can zero in on what we're going to be talking about today. I'm hoping I can zero in on what we're going to be talking about today, quite honestly. Let me just pray for us really quick, and then we'll just get right into it. Father, I just love the fact that you always hear us when we pray to you, and that, God, you're here with us in this room. You're with us when we go to school, when we go to work. You are always near, and you are never, you are not a God who is far off. And the songs that we just sang about your amazing grace, the sacrifice that you have made, Jesus, you are worthy of our praise. You are worthy of our lives. So, God, would you speak to our hearts? And let us walk out of this room closer to you. We pray in Christ's name. Everyone said? Amen. 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 So, worship. Okay. I can talk about worship for forever, but I can't because I only got a little bit of time and you guys got to go to groups. So I had to narrow down. I had to kind of be really specific on what I was going to talk about today, which is really hard for me given all those variables I just talked about earlier. ADD, young, blah, blah, blah. Okay, so what I'm going to do for you is be as concise as possible. Starting with the definition of worship. Here we go. The simplest definition of worship, okay, is to express value or worth to something. Knowing and expressing. That's the first thing that I want you guys to learn. Knowing and expressing. And then the other part of that is knowing and responding. And those should be up on the screen right now. I have Jedi powers. So that is the simplest definition that I want you guys to just kind of wrap your minds around right now, okay? When we're talking about in the context of worshiping like Jesus, it's knowing God and responding to him in passionate worship, okay? I know that's kind of like redundant, but just bear with me. Tim Keller has this awesome quote, and it says, "Worship is seeing what God is worth and giving him what he's worth," okay? So there's this element of seeing who God is, whether in his word or whether in life experience, and you go, holy cow, like, there's a God who loves me. There's a God of grace and truth and love, and I have to respond to that. The giving to him what he's worth, okay? That is the response, okay? So this is kind of another way to say that. It is knowing God and responding to him. Today, I'm hoping to kind of talk about worship in a slightly different way, okay? Whenever you hear the word worship, a lot of us automatically think singing, music, it's that segment right before the speaking, it's the segment right after speaking, it's the segment, you know, that we do, blah, blah, blah. It's all you think of is music, okay? So I kind of want to wipe the slate clean with that, all right? Music is an aspect, it is an outpouring of worship, but is not exclusively the definition of worship. It's more than singing. And if you went to the Vertigo talk, you heard me say this before, worship is a lifestyle choice, okay? It's a lifestyle. It's this daily commitment that says, I want to see who God is, I want to know him, and I want to give him what he's worth. I want to respond. It is not just an outward act, okay? I think sometimes we can go the opposite end, and we can go, okay, it's all about what God sees me do on the outside. That's worship, okay? So, yay, God, I love you. Oh, I got a text. Yay, God, you're awesome. Oh, what are you doing after church today? Yeah, I'm gonna go. Yay, God, see, look, I'm singing, I'm lifting my hands. A lot of us think, okay, I'm just going to go on this mission trip and I'm going to serve. There, God, you happy? I served you and I worshiped you with my mission trip. And we think it's all about the exterior, okay? Now, Jesus came and he totally flipped that on its head. And he goes to the Pharisees, you guys, you think it's all about the outside when really it's about the inside. Worship is about the condition of your heart. He says of the Pharisees in Matthew 15, these people, they worship me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. And Jesus is heartbroken at that. When he's talking about the Pharisees and just saying, oh yeah, they're giving me praise. Yeah, they're doing all these deeds, but their hearts aren't in it. So there's an element of knowing and responding that is a deep, heartfelt desire, a deep, heartfelt passion. Jesus knows that we can fake it. He knows that you can act like you love him, and he knows that you can fake others into believing that you do as well. So the biggest question tonight is, where is your heart? Do you desire to know? Do you desire to give God what he's worth? What are you passionate about? What governs your life? What do you desire more than anything? Because this is one of the most important questions that you can ask yourself, even on a daily basis. Because whatever your passions and your desires are, your actions are going to follow that. Okay? So, as we continue, that kind of set the table here. I want to talk about kind of how we get there, how we get to this place of desire and passionate worship. So, for starters, there's one fact that you all need to know is that you were made to worship. Okay? Now, when I say that, again, a lot of people are like, "I was made to sing," or "I was made to just, you know, worship God," right? And I say, well, yeah, kind of. You were made to worship God, okay? You are wired naturally to find satisfaction and fulfillment in the actual act of worshiping something else. You are wired that way, okay? One of the biggest examples of this is sports arenas, okay? When you go to Levi Stadium, when you go to AT&T Park, there's, you know, tens of thousands of fans just going, like, we love the Giants, we love the 49ers, and Baumgartner throws a no-hitter, and everyone's like, yeah, Baumgartner's the freaking best, he's awesome, I love him. And then it's like, who's a 49er? I don't follow sports. Kaepernick, yeah, duh. He's like, no, stop right now, everyone. I'm going to go on random tangents. Kaepernick. Everyone's like, oh my gosh, Kaepernick, we love you. You're awesome. Woo, we threw a touchdown pass. Right? The applause, the emotion, the desire, the passion that's contained in those stadiums, believe it or not, is a form of worship. And you're going, wait, what? I do that. And I'm like, yeah, yeah. Have you ever gone to a concert and you've just been like, wah! And you're just singing along and you're like, I love this person. Don't you just love this person? They're so great. Like, you just start getting wrapped up in the moat and the heart of it. And I've done that. That is a form of worship. Here's the thing. You were designed to give your heart over to someone. You were designed to give your heart to God. But that's not always the case. We sometimes give our hearts over to things that are lesser than God. We give things over to God, or we give things, our hearts over to things that do not have the same power, that do not have the same reciprocating love. Okay? This could be a girlfriend or a boyfriend, a dog, family member, and even in an activity, we say, you know what, this thing, I desire it, and I get fulfillment and satisfaction from it, therefore, I'm going to invest more of myself and more of my desires into it, hoping that it gives me what I want back. Does that make sense? And so, a lot of us go from relationship to relationship, thinking that I'm going to get what I'm looking for. I'm going to get what I'm looking for. We go from sport to sport, and we're like, you know what? If I just learn to play this, I'll be a better person. I'll be more fulfilled. I'll be deeper in my satisfaction with life. And then we end up just being empty all the time. Romans 1:25. This is where Paul talks about idolatry, okay? And he says, they exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and they worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator God, who is forever to be praised. Amen. R.C. Sproul, a theologian, says this, as fallen creatures, it is one of our most basic and fundamental inclinations to worship something or someone other than the true God. Because of sin, because of our fallenness, we are looking for satisfaction. We are looking to channel those desires that we have for fulfillment and satisfaction into something else other than God. Just by nature, by our sinful nature. So idolatry is this, worshiping anything other than or less than God. Okay? And like I said before, this is evidenced in, you know, sports games. This is evidenced at concerts. This is evidenced in your daily life. Okay, an idol. I want to kind of clarify this a little bit. An idol is not simply anything that we enjoy and delight in. An idol is something that we are banking on for our satisfaction, our meaning, and fulfillment. That is not God. Okay? An idol is something that we desire to fulfill us, to get satisfaction from, to find our meaning in other than God. We worship and adore and celebrate gifts more than we do the giver. Every single good gift you have ever been given, every single good thing that you enjoy is meant to point you back to the giver who says, hey, I love you, and I created you uniquely to enjoy this. So here you go. I want you to enjoy this. But just remember that I gave it to you, that I am the giver of all things, that I am the one who is good, that I am the one who knows your heart, that I am the one who satisfies you more than you could ever possibly imagine. If you want to know what you worship, track these three things: your time, your talent, and your treasure. Okay? If you want to know what you worship, track these three things. Where does your time go? What do you spend your time doing most? Your talent, which is your labor, your efforts, your skill. Where are you applying those the most? Your treasure, your money, what you spend your money on. Where are you applying that? So some things that we can worship easy right off the bat: fitness, health, our image, cars, gaining more money, popularity, comfort, education, food, video games, trucks, camping and outdoors, you name it. We can spend globs and globs of time, talent, and treasure doing all these things, thinking, this is what's going to satisfy me. This is what I desire. This is what is going to fulfill me. When God's saying, you're not getting it. I am the one who's supposed to fill that hole in your life. Our hearts are more invested in these things, and we serve these things as a source of satisfaction and joy, when our hearts were meant to have our joy be rooted in Christ. And this is why we feel so empty. Satan and his army of darkness, they don't want you to desire God. Nope, if they can distract you any way they can, they're like, here, have this. Don't look at God. Have this. This. This is what you need. This is what you want. Right here. Hello, look at me. Hello. This, right here. You'll be satisfied with this. Nope, don't look at him. Don't look at God. Look at this girl. Yeah, that's the relationship that you really need. You don't need a relationship with God. You need a relationship with this girl or this boy or this thing. The enemy is out to destroy you in this area. We need to know Christ and to be saturated with a heartfelt understanding of his character and what he's done. If we are going to worship God to the fullest extent that we can, we have to be saturated in the knowledge of who God is. And we're going to go through we're going to go through some elements of, or some aspects of what knowing is and what I mean by this, okay? I'm going to start with an example, okay? Chicken Barn. Any fans of Chicken Barn in here? Really? Wait, hold on. How many people have never been to Chicken Barn? I'm just really curious. Are you kidding? Okay, so here you go. This actually kind of proves my, this kind of helps me illustrate this. So everyone up here, everyone listen. How many of you know of Chicken Barn? Okay. How many of you have heard something about it, whether it has good chicken, good wedges, good, everyone thinks I say wedgies, but it's wedges, it's potato wedges, good sauce, right? Now, how many of you have tasted a delicious 10-piece nugget, wedges, a biscuit, butter? Oh, yeah. And you guys get it. So there's three different tiers of knowledge that I want you guys to think about, especially when it comes to knowing who God is, all right? You can know of God, you can know about God, and you can know God. You can know of God, you can know about God, and you can know God. Knowing of God, this is all proximity. Like Chicken Barn, I know Chicken Barn is on McHenry Avenue. I pass by every once in a while, see it, don't really care. It doesn't really, you know, affect my life. I'm just kind of cruising by. Some people in this room right now, that's your relationship to God. You'll come in to church and be like, yeah, that's cool, whatever. I'm just passing by. I'm just here. I'm on my way to do something else. Some of you have heard of God, but you're like, yeah, whatever. It doesn't really make a big difference in my life. I don't really care. And some of you in this room know about God, and you know enough facts to kind of get that passing grade. Kind of like in school, I was really guilty of this all the time, but I would just memorize stuff and then whoosh, like brain flush. Like I just wanted the grade, and everyone's going, oh yeah, I do that every day. I don't learn a thing. No, so we can know about God, okay? We know the facts. Jesus came and died for my sins. Great, got that one. Put that in the back pocket. He rose again. Yeah, that's why we have Easter. Duh. Yeah, Christmas. Really dig Christmas. Get a lot of gifts. It's really fun. They do a bunch of Christmas carols, and it's great. We can know facts about God. We've grown up in church. There is enough knowledge in your head that you could quote to me a verse offhand. You know, you could, whatever, give me any sort of fact on God and try and convince me that you know him. But you don't necessarily let it affect who you are. You don't do anything with it. And that's the difference between knowing about God and knowing God. Okay? And this here, knowing God through a relationship with Jesus, is incredibly satisfying, awesome. It is crazy at times. It's actually a real relationship. And I don't know how many of you can relate to that, but the more I've been growing in my faith, the more I realize how real of a relationship it is. Having conversation with God, telling him, God, I'm really mad at you. That was not cool. You taking her out of my life? Nope. You taking him out of my life? Nope. I'm not cool with that, God. You're supposed to be this loving God who cares about me. You're supposed to be this God who looks out for me. So what's the deal? Or you can have just awesome days where you're like, God, thank you so much for this person in my life. Oh my gosh, I love their personality. I love how you have blessed me with them. Thank you. You can have real conversation with God. You know that he's there. You sense his presence. Could you imagine being in a relationship with someone, and maybe some of you do this, but all you do is text, and you're in the same room together, and you just text. And you keep your head buried, and you just text. And you don't ever spend any time with them. You don't ever really ask or get to know their personality at all. It's just text. Just texting. You never go past that, this isn't threatening at all. This is easy. This doesn't require much of me. You can't even sense my tone. Oh yeah, I wasn't really angry at you. Send. I don't know about you guys, but I want a more dynamic relationship than that with people. How much more of a dynamic relationship do I want with God? And I think it's important that we all realize that knowing God, knowing Christ, that this is not head knowledge, but a heart knowledge. It's a heart knowledge. When you say, yeah, I know who God is. I've seen and experienced who he is, his character. I've seen what he's done. I know him, and he knows me. The Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Psalm 37:8. We are meant for a relationship with him. That's why we were made. And I don't know if you're tracking, but I said you were made to worship. You were made to have a relationship with God. You're made to enjoy God. Like, a relationship with God isn't supposed to be something that you're like, this is so dismal. I have to sit in church and listen to the word, and they make me read the word when I go home and I pray, and this is gonna drive me insane. Like, it's not meant to be like that. And if it is, I'm sorry, but you're missing out. As you experience a relationship with God through Jesus, your life begins to overflow with words, actions, and deeds that honor and glorify Jesus. Because you can't help it. You can't help but talk about God. How many of you, when you go to see a movie, you immediately are like, oh man, I got to tell my friends, this was one of the best movies I've ever seen, and you talk about it like, oh my gosh, you got to see it. Oh my gosh, you got to, like a restaurant. How many of you are foodies in here? Anyone? Anyone? Okay, so you go to a restaurant that's super killer, and you're like, oh my gosh, you guys got to eat there. That same intensity and passion and desire for those restaurants and for those movies and for those other things in life, you were meant to have for God, because you were meant to experience a relationship with God. You were meant for your desires to be satisfied in the character and person of who God is. And as a result, you will worship Him with your life. There is a natural and a willful response when we know God. If we've experienced the grace of God, if we know His love, if we've tasted and seen that He is good, the overflow of our hearts should be to give Him everything. It is also the desire to be obedient, as well as the act of doing so, despite the absence of feeling. Some of you may not feel like obeying God, but worshiping Him and being in a love relationship with God says, God, I don't feel like giving this up, but I know You're calling me to, and because of who You are, that's why I want to do this. That's why I want to glorify You. That's why I want to worship You, is because You are worth it. We just sang, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. He is worthy of praise. He is worthy of our singing. He is worthy of our lives. That's what that means. Our response to Him isn't robotic or out of duty of religion, but it's out of relationship. It's from the heart. That's why in Romans 12, 1, Paul writes, in view of God's mercy, I urge you to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual, everyone say it, which is your spiritual worship. Again, Paul goes, in view of what we know, in view of what we know about God, in view of the fact that He's merciful, He's loving, and He's good. He goes, brothers, I urge you, offer yourselves as living sacrifices. That is what worship looks like. It's laying down your rights. It's laying down your life for the sake that God gets the glory. One of the key phrases and theological concepts that has been a linchpin of my life is this phrase: God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in Him. A great man named John Piper said that. And guys, this is, we don't have time to go deeper into this, but this is why you were created, to know who God is, to experience a relationship with Him, to be satisfied in Him, and by your being satisfied in Him, you worship Him. Not just the result of being satisfied in Him, but your actual satisfaction in your relationship with God worships who he is. Because you're saying, God, you're worth it. I'm satisfied. These other things, those don't satisfy me like you do. Those don't love me with an unending love. Those things aren't faithful to me like you are. So in closing, I just want us to think about a few things here. Worship is all about the condition and the delight of your heart. You worship what you delight in. You delight in what you know and experience. And if you know and experience God, you will delight in him. And if you don't believe me, taste and see. If you don't believe me, test those waters and see how God blesses you with himself. We're going to close with a song. And as we do, I just pray that God works in your heart. And maybe he's laid something on your heart right now. An idea, and I don't want you to let that go. Maybe there's something I said that is sticking with you, and you're like, I'm just holding on to that. Really don't let that go. Knowing God, really knowing him, not just about him, not just of him, really knowing God should evoke a response from our lives. To not only change, but to pursue obedience. In summary, I'm going to leave you with this statement. Christ-saturated knowledge. Knowledge is more than just head knowledge. It's an experience. It leads to Christ-centered passions in your heart, which leads to Christ-exalting behaviors. Do you love Jesus? Where is your heart? Do you desire him more than anything? Let's all stand together. I'm going to pray for us, and then we're going to go into this next song. Lord Jesus, you are worthy, and we love you. And those of us in this room who, God, who know of you, I pray that we would see you, that we would open our eyes to you, that we wouldn't be callous to your heart. Those of us who know about you would pursue to grow deeper. And those of us who are already walking with you, God, that you would ignite our hearts to not only serve and to go out and be obedient, but to trust you more, that we would desire nothing less than you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.